This is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. We certainly want to look to the Lord in prayer before we begin the service today. The Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been so good to us, so much better than we'd ever deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to accomplish your will, Father. Help us to follow your word in all things. And help us, Father, that we could honor you in everything that we say and do, that it could bring glory to your name and point souls to your Son and be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, we just pray that you would bless, and for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to turn to the book of John to begin with today. John chapter 13. And last week we dealt with the Lord's Supper. This week we're going to look at feet washing. Now, there was a time about 100 years ago that near about every church that you went to practiced feet washing. You might have to go back 150 years for some churches. There were some that started to go away from it. But most of the churches took part in this. And this was before we had running water. It was before we had the good socks and shoes that we wear now. And they took part in this, in the feet washing service. And some people say, oh man, feet washing is wrong. I even heard that there was some minister in the ABA years ago, and I'm not going to call his name now, I'm not trying to deal with that. He called the heresy of the feet washing service, and he was just rebelling against it. Some churches did. That's why he didn't do it. But yet the Bible teaches it. The Bible plainly teaches it. Now, a little bit of history on feet washing and what it represents is it was a service, you know, since people walked a lot, wherever they were going and things that they were doing. If you had somebody come into your house that you respected, first of all, you'd give them a place where they could wash their feet if they just needed to wash their feet. If you thought pretty highly of them and thought them to be a really good person, you might have somebody else come over, one of your servants or something, come over and wash their feet. If you really had respect unto them and you really loved them and thought so highly about them, just above yourself, this is just a special person coming into my house. You know, like Abraham, when he had the, some say the angel, some say it was Jesus himself that came into him. What did he do? He washed their feet. Even though he was Lord over the house, when they came, he said, man, I'm washing y'all's feet. To show what? I'm not above you. I'm not higher than you. In some cases, to say I'm lower than you. To be a servant. And that's the way that it was done. And so we come to what we commonly refer to as the feet washing service. We'll begin reading in John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Notice the statement there. Dost thou wash my feet? And Peter wasn't being arrogant about this or above. In fact, this is a good statement by Peter. An actual good thing, because he's saying, no, it's supposed to be the other way around. You're my master. You're my Lord. I wash your feet. Not this way. In other words, I'm not worthy for you to wash my feet. I'm not worthy of that. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And when he makes that statement, he's saying, No, I'm not allowing this, because I'm not letting my Lord and Savior. I know who you are. You're the Son of the living God. Man, he's higher than any human being that's ever been thought of. We got some people that think pretty high of themselves, and they don't feel worthy of doing anything for anybody else. We have those type of people in the world. And here it is, the actual creator of this world, because by Christ was all things created, according to Scripture. He said, Listen, you're not washing my feet. That's never happening. Jesus answered him, He said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Notice Jesus' response. He's coming back to Peter and he says, You need to understand this is needful. You need to understand I'm doing something for you. You don't understand it right now, but you're going to. This service needs to be done. And when Simon heard that, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. If that's the case, Lord, then take care of me all. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you, or done to you. He drives this home, doesn't he? He says, Do you know what I just did? See, Jesus liked to teach, and the best teaching is example, isn't it? And he's saying, Listen, you know what I just did. And of course they did. And he says, Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And he goes back to talking about Judas. But he said, If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do what? Do them. He'll say, Well, he was just giving that as an example to teach about how we're to serve one another. He was. That's the lesson in it. That none of us are to esteem ourselves more highly than we ought to think, or more highly than our brother. In fact, we're to condescend to men of low estate. And we're to help those that even we think in some ways are beneath us. We're to condescend. We're to lower ourselves because Jesus was made even a little lower than the angels. And He submitted unto all that and even was a servant while He was here. He didn't seek to get things while He was here, did He? He sought to see how He could help others. That's a message that we need to learn. That's a lesson that we need to put into our hearts and grow from. So true. And the feet washing services teaches us that. Let me tell you, over the years, I've got down on my knees and I've washed I don't know how many feet over the years in a foot washing service. And we get made fun of sometimes. Group of Baptists that I belong to, you know, sometimes they call us, Well, y'all are those feet washing Baptists. We are. I'll say this, not everybody that goes to our church practices it. They don't come to the service and participate in it. They should. because it teaches you something. In fact, I'll say this on my behalf. It is one of the most humbling services that I could ever be a part of. It's reminding me that I'm not here for what I can get out of life. I'm here for how I can accomplish the will of God by serving others according to Scripture. The main part of that is with the gospel. But of course, God teaches us to take care of the poor, to look upon those who are in need and these type of things. And in the proper place, God leading and directing, certainly want to do that too. All that's taught in this. And it was mainly a service of how we wash one another's feet. What does that do in a service when the church members are washing one another's feet? What does that do? Teaches humility. That's what it does. Teaches humility. Let me tell you this. If you're going to wash somebody's feet, other things in life that they stand in need of and help in life, it makes it a lot easier to accomplish because you've learned a lesson. You've learned a lesson. And he didn't just say, learn from this lesson. He said, you need to wash one another's feet. I've done this to you. You need to do it to one another. And people say, well, that's only taught one time in the Scripture. First of all, if that were the truth, and it's not, we're going to prove that in just a moment. But if that was the truth, I don't know what your mama or daddy was like growing up. But if my daddy or mama told me to do something once, once was enough. Once was all I needed. And the Bible is not a huge book. A lot of people think it is, but it's smaller than most novels. Everything that God has for us to know is contained in the Word of God, and it's smaller than most novels. Especially the New Testament. The New Testament is very short. And if God told you to do something once, is that enough? But He didn't just say it once. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, this gets to the part of where God is teaching us about the family of God. Now, some people think, well, churches are supposed to take care of everybody. That's not true. In fact, the resources of God are to be used most of all to spread the gospel and take care of things inside of the church. But back at this time, there was no Social Security, there was no welfare programs, and of course the main responsibility relies with the family. And I'll read through this to get to the point. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. He says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. In the house of God and in the family of God, we're to have that family love one for another in righteousness and purity. And then he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. And honor here means take care of. That if they were actually in need and actually needed this help, that the church has a responsibility, their brothers and sisters in Christ, to not let them go hungry or without a place to sleep. We take care of necessities. Not wants, but necessities. But notice what he starts saying. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. The church is not supposed to take the responsibility of people's families. Families are to take care of their own family. That's first and foremost. That way you're not wasting the things of God. You're not wasting the resources of God here in this world. It can be focused on expanding the gospel. He said, but if any widow have children, or let me drop on down to verse 5. He says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate without family to take care of her, is what that means, trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. In other words, she's faithful. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. If this woman has lived a faithful life unto God and is in need of help, that's one thing. If somebody's going and they just racked up debt and they wasted money and then they're saying, well, I need help, I need this, and they've been wasteful, with what God's giving them, the church is not supposed to help people that have never helped themselves. Not taught in Scripture. You won't back up on that? Go and read the book of Proverbs. There's a big difference in helping the poor versus helping the lazy in Scripture. God teaches us not to help the lazy, but to help those that are in need. And there is a difference, and a wise person can easily tell the difference. He said, "And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house," you know, mother, father, brother, sister, things of this nature, son, daughter, "he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." That is the only place in the Scripture where the word infidel is used. The only place in the Scripture. When we don't take care of our responsibilities, and our main responsibilities is to our family. Parents, children, you know, those kind of things. Brother, sister, things of that nature. And again, not to enable people that are trying to waste or take advantage of you. That's not what God teaches. But the people who are actually in need and need help is a different subject. But even the church is not supposed to just go out and help everybody, are they? He says, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years old. That would be 60 years old, having been the wife of one man. And that taken into the number means to be taken into the number of people that are being taken care of by the church. A person under 60, if they're in normal health, is able to take care of themselves up to that age. We can all agree on that. And we know that there are diseases, there are certain ailments that certainly we would understand by Scripture that need more assistance than that. But somebody that is capable and able at that age is not to be assisted by the church if they're under 60 years old or 60 years old. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work." In other words, if she's actually lived the life of a Christian. Not just said I'm saved and I'm a Christian and come to church, but has actually lived the life of a Christian. Helping others, showing the love of Christ, sharing the gospel with others, taking part in church services, including washing the saints' feet. If she's done that, then the church can take care of her. But one of the qualifications for a widow to be helped by the church, if she was desolate, one of the qualifications is washing the saints' feet. This was a service that most churches took part in for hundreds of years. They took part in it. And were glad to take part in it. They understood it. They did it. You can go back and probably find out the minute books in your old churches, especially in Baptist churches, and you can go and find where the churches took part in that. Some churches you might have to go back 100 years or 150 years of those records still exist. I know there was a preacher that's going on to be with the Lord now that preached this one time on a radio message, and he got a phone call from a preacher that said, "Our church has never taken part in this service." And I guess he announced it from the pulpit that he called and how foolish it was to take part in such a service. And he said, "Our church has never taken part in that." He said that this church took part in that. And he said, "But we've never done that." And one of the older ladies from the church went up to him after church and said, "I can tell you when I took part in that service in this church." She corrected him. And she said, "Oh yeah, we used to take part in that. We used to do it." And she said, "I did it myself." Dear friends, it's not only that we need to learn the lesson sometimes. Sometimes practicing the lesson is one of the best teachers, isn't it? Now, back in football, I had a coach that used to tell us, he said, boys, he said, y'all are going to play like you practice. If you don't practice hard, if you don't do the work in practice, he said, you're never going to do it when you get out in the world. And there's a lot of people saying, I can do the things of God when it's time to, when you go and practice. You know what washing the saints' feet does? It builds up fellowship in the body. It builds up the knowledge that we're to serve one another. It builds up that relationship in the church, as we mentioned about the importance of church membership and what all that brings forth. Hard to wash the saints' feet at the house, isn't it? Hard to have that relationship without being a part of a local visible body and knowing when to take part in that service and knowing the importance of it and that fellowship and what it's teaching us within the body of Christ of how we're to love one another and respect one another and serve one another as children of God. But also it teaches us in doing that how we serve as we leave the church house and go out into the world and how we share that gospel and our service to others, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he that is going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven is he that is going to be the least, isn't he? He that's going to serve. As Peter tried to tell the churches in 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, we're not to be lords over God's heritage. That's not the job of a minister. That's not the job of anybody else to be lords over God's heritage. He said, but we're to be in samples to the flock. Living examples. What was he saying? We're here to serve. In fact, in chapter 2 and verse 1, he calls himself the servant of Christ. Paul would call himself in many of his letters the servant of Christ. Your servant in the Lord. Things of this nature. And sometimes they were writing that to remind the churches of who they were. But I know from experience and some of the things that I say, I don't just say them for you that are listening. Sometimes I say them for me to remind myself of what I'm supposed to be and what my role is and what God would have me to be so that I don't get high-minded and think myself to be above anyone else, but to think of myself soberly, righteously, holy, and remembering the example that Christ gave. What was His example? He girded Himself with a towel. He got down there with that water in a basin, and He washed His disciples' feet. And He said, what I've done unto you, you need to do to one another. Why? Why, Jesus? Because you need to remember, you're not here to be served. You're here to serve. That's an important lesson, isn't it? And the way that we remind ourselves of that lesson sometimes is we take part in a service. We take part in that service so that we're reminding ourselves, hey, it's not about me. It's about God working through me. It's about me accomplishing His will. Because Jesus came not to do His own will, but the will of Him that sent Him. God the Father. He was doing what? Giving us an example to follow. I want to encourage you today, dear friends, feet washing service is very important. There are very few churches that take part in that service anymore. And I was so blessed one time, and I'm not going to bring up the man's name, but there was a minister that actually asked questions about this years ago. He was in a Baptist church, but not of one of like faith that I'm in, not a Faithway church or Landmark church, however you want to call it. He wasn't a part of our work, but we got to have that conversation, and we talked a little bit, and I know we talked with some other people. And after talking to them, he went back to his church. And he said, I'm not going to make anybody do anything. But he said, this church used to partake in this service, the feet washing service. They had the Lord's Supper, and after it was over, he said, before we leave, he said, I would like to give an opportunity to whoever would like to take part in this service with me to do it. And I don't know how many it was, 25, 50% of the church, however much it was, but many people took part in that service. And he taught on it, He taught the lesson of it. And he said, I think it's good that we practice this. You might have the same experience where you're going. But I can tell you, if you do it right in the way that God taught it, it'll be a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to the church. Because you'll be learning a valuable lesson that Christ was trying to teach His disciples. He said, you know what I'm doing unto you? He told Peter, he said, you don't know what I'm doing now, but you'll understand later. What was the part he was going to understand later? He was going to understand, Peter, it's not about you. It's about God working through you. And it's about you letting Christ shine through you instead of letting Peter shine through you. It's about serving one another, loving one another, caring for one another, and esteeming others more highly than yourself. That's what it's about. Let us learn this lesson. And I pray that if your church does this service, that you'll desire to take part in it. If they don't, try to encourage it. You can't force things, but you can encourage things. And I know it'll be a blessing. I pray this could be a blessing and encouragement to you today. If you'd have anything upon your heart, you feel free. Our number is 601-544-7920. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email us, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. You can also look us up with a website we're affiliated with, faithwaymissionarybaptist.com. That's all one word together, faithwaymissionarybaptist.com. Again, we pray this could be a blessing to you. Also, we'd like to give you an invitation. If you'd like to come where we pastor, you're more than welcome. We work with two small churches. We work with New Zion and Richland, Mississippi. Their location is 341 Cochran Road, and that's in Richland, Mississippi. 39476 is the zip code. We also, just to let you know, they have 9 o'clock Sunday morning service there at New Zion in Richland. We also work with Faith Missionary Baptist Church at 12266 Airport Boulevard, Mobile, Alabama, 36608. Again, that's 12266 Airport Boulevard. The Church at Faith has 11:30 Sunday morning service, 4 o'clock Sunday evening service, and 7 o'clock Tuesday night service. And again, you're more than welcome to come to those. And if you need any more directions than that, we can get those to you. Again, our number is 601-544-7920. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory, and for the good that is accomplished through it, let us step aside and give You the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.